No, we have, and actually, my roommate just bought a really nice table, and it's like it's serving as our bar right now. And he's a pretty big bourbon guy, and I am too. So it's actually, I'd like to think it's a pretty classy setup. I feel like an adult with it.
Is that what you say when you meet a girl for the first time? You're like, hey, I have a pretty classy setup.
Yeah, would you like to come back to my place? I have a very classy bourbon selection. And it hasn't worked yet, but
this is podcast, I think, number 15. We're going into week 11. This is special edition, I guess you could say. We kind of crashed the party. I got Chris here.
And I am Cousin Clay.
I remember the last time you were on, you guys.
Yeah, it has.
There's an awkward pause there, too.
Well, I have to be Cousin Clay because it's my relation to you guys, basically. It starts mm-hmm. like from you and spreads its way out. So I liked it better than Triathlete Clay.
Triathlete Clay.
That was a little cheesy.
It doesn't have as much of a ring to it, but yeah, you are. We're doing this super early because you get up at like 4 in the morning, mm-hmm. right?
Yep. And it's really cold and really dark and all makes me really, really tired.
Sounds awesome. So if you're new to the show, we had been doing a waiver wire podcast one per week up until about week 8. And after that, we transitioned to start sit podcasts that come out on Thursdays. Since we had our first version of our weekly models out. And since we switched to start sit, we kind of felt like, you know, so some of our audience was missing the waiver wire advice that we had been giving. So Clay and I kind of thought we'd take the night off and hang out with you guys and drink some bourbon and some cheap wine and talk about our waiver wire article.
Yeah, and supplant the Daves because they hog all the airwaves with their podcast. So I mean we do a lot of pretty cool stuff too, I think. So I think this is a great way to get ourselves out there, and you know,
we're cool too, guys. I mean,
I promise. Yeah, like when people Chris says we're cool, I think we're pretty cool too. So when people tell you they're cool, that usually means that they are pretty cool.
So we're not as cool as them, honestly. We're pretty boring, but so we're gonna try to keep this short. So before we get into our waiver wire suggested pickups for the week, I thought we'd take a moment and just sort of assess how we did on our math box and fantasy outliers advice for week 10. So every week, every Sunday, one of us is on Twitter giving fantasy football advice. We listen to hashtag fantasy football advice and we give feedback. We do this during the week too, but there's obviously a lot of activity on Sunday morning. So I just kind of wanted to run through some of the advice I gave and how it turned out. Using MathBox's projection and adding in my own, I guess, intuition or expertise, whatever you want to call it. So I'll just go through some of them. One guy asked me, Juju, what is his last name? Juju something?
Smith-Schuster.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
Smith Schuster.
Over coolest name ever. Over Cooper Kupp, which is also an interesting name. I suggested Juju, and as it turned out, Juju scored 20 points and Kupp got 10 in PPR, so was happy about that. Someone was asking about Vernon Davis or Charles Clay, and I kind of said, look, Vernon Davis is the safe bet. MathBox actually had Clay higher, but obviously MathBox isn't as good at the situational stuff. So I was like, I know the situation where they might be cautious with Clay in his first game back. So I suggested Davis, but maybe Clay with the higher upside. As it turned out, Davis got 15 points and Clay got like 3 against the New Orleans defense, which is actually a pretty decent match, pretty tough matchup against tight ends. I suggested Aaron Jones. MathBox was pretty high on him. This week had him at like RB10 in PPR. And obviously he got hurt early. So Ty Montgomery got a lot of the points. And that kind of sucks, but Ty Montgomery got 15 points. So you got to think if Aaron Jones was in there, he would have done well. CJ Anderson, MathBox was high on him this week, and he got like 6 or 7 points, and he just kind of laid an egg. So I don't know. I'm considering like dropping him at this point.
I can't pull the trigger yet on dropping him, uh-huh. But yeah, that's one that MathBox has. It was on at the beginning of the year, and it's been, it backed off a little bit, but it still has been in his corner pretty well, despite like basically everything we're seeing. And so that's kind of, it's been an outlier in its own right.
I mean, he's got a decent amount of opportunities. He's just not scoring touchdowns basically. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why he's still high on him. And okay. So, so we're learning how to interpret MathBox's projections and how to work with them. So it had Demaryius Thomas higher this week, compared to Emmanuel Sanders. And we had said on the podcast on Thursday, New England's D is, I mean, they're pretty bad, obviously, in general, but they're known for taking away your number one target, your number one player. So in one league, I had both players, and I actually started Demaryius Thomas over Emmanuel Sanders. And as it turned out, they both, like Demaryius Thomas had 15 in PPR and Sanders had 20. So both pretty good games, but Sanders got a ton more opportunities and targets, and Thomas just ended up with a touchdown. So I think that's an interesting one where you're like, you see MathBox's projections and you're like, so I kind of know this situational thing here.
Yeah. I've loved having, the projections, as like some sort of starting point. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like when you don't know where to go to eat and you're trying to decide and nothing sounds good. And then someone says, let's go to McDonald's. And then you go, okay, maybe not McDonald's. And it makes you make the decision, like it makes you narrow it down much more. So you have, you know, especially like for flex stuff, when you've got this, basically your whole bench and a few other guys, for it to narrow it down to a few things so that then you can say, all right, I do know, like within, if I'm picking between these two guys, you know, you're able to look at what MathBox says, but you're also, it's a lot easier to decide between like a couple guys and really narrow down the field. So that's where it's been super helpful for me.
Why don't we get into some of your waiver wire suggestions, Clay? You wrote an article, that's going to post Tuesday morning about some waiver wire suggestions. So why don't we go ahead and start with quarterbacks?
Yeah. And, so for quarterbacks, that's where we try not to repeat people too much on here because we're kind of saying the same things over and over that, that we as the human side like Jared Goff. MathBox doesn't quite like him as much, but we like him as an option. And he's, you know, he's still pretty available in a lot of leagues. The big free agent performance this week was CJ Beathard. I hope that's how you pronounce it. I'm pretty sure that's it. CJ Beathard in San Francisco. Beat hard. I know it's not that.
Okay.
That's why he had. He's in San Francisco and had 288 yards, 2 touchdowns, and added another one rushing, and only threw one pick. So that was good for 25 points, and you know he's been on an upward trajectory. They pass a lot there. And I mean, he's a rookie, so he's obviously like on, you know, that type of learning curve.
Where he might, box isn't too, he might do better, like maybe later on in the season, kind of like starting
yeah,
like right around now.
So there's a couple things. And one of them is they're on the Niners are on bye next week. So you wouldn't pick him up then. And then the other thing is they obviously just traded for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Hmm.
And although Kyle Shanahan's like not committing to starting Garoppolo, like after a bye week, I assume there's a really good chance that Garoppolo could see the field.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously can't say anything now, but this is just kind of, I just wanted to note that all because he had such a good performance and has been like pretty much getting better every week. Beathard has that kind of want to keep an eye on it, but there's not a lot to do right now. And I'm sure, especially after, week 11 heading into week 12, we'll have a lot more information to go off of for that.
And yeah, for sure. And I just wanted to add that their defense is terrible. So that's one of the things, we're releasing our version 2.0 of our, weekly projections. Going to be rolling out some of them this week and some of them next week as the models come in. But, that's one of the factors we're looking at. 'Cause obviously I guess weakness of the defense in this case could lead to them obviously passing more and potentially more points. So
that's a really good point. Especially if like they're in garbage time too or anything like that.
All right. So, okay, let's move on to running backs.
Yeah. So, had a few guys on here, and we'll start with Austin Eckler. I also hope that's how you pronounce his name. For the Los Angeles Chargers, he had a season high 10 carries and 42 yards on the ground, and then five catches for 77 yards and two scores. So he had a really big day. He didn't out carry Melvin Gordon, but his yards per carry were way better, and they seemed to have Gordon's number, and Eckler was able to be making things happen.
So they kind of maybe focused on Gordon a little bit, and when Eckler was in there, maybe, I don't know, put the other linebackers on somebody else or something.
Yeah, I mean, you see that from time to time. Mm-hmm. Just like I'm blanking on his name, but one of the Eagles backup, Ajayi's backup for the Eagles last week. Yeah. Anyway, Eckler is projected outside the top 50 for running backs in week 11 by MathBox, and that's like pretty much where he ranks in general for scoring in the season. So we're, you know, MathBox would say it, and we're kind of saying it too. The performance was cool, but especially since he fumbled late in the game as they were trying to like run out the clock and keep the lead, it is probably just a blip on the radar for him.
Good point.
And then the one that everyone loves, the running back situation, the however many headed a monster in New England.
However many headed.
And it's always it's a multiple headed monster, and it's a carousel, and you never know who's on or off. Pretty much all the guys that got meaningful opportunities did pretty well this week. And kind of the free agent guys we'll take a look at are Deion Lewis and Rex Burkhead. Lewis led with 55 yards on 14 carries, had a rushing touchdown, and then a 103 yard kickoff return for a score. So he had a pretty big day. But Burkhead, he had 36 yards on the ground and then three receptions for 27 yards and a touchdown. So,
and he also blocked a punt too.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, after seeing him in Cincinnati for a while, he totally makes sense for that New England backfield. And especially like he definitely has much more of that ability to make plays in the passing game out of the mm-hmm. backfield. That's something that's definitely like a strength of his game.
Yeah. You know, I had actually thought about, I think I actually drafted Burkhead in a league or two this year, just because of that. Like they talked about him so much in Cincinnati about how he was like one of the best players on their offense, but yet, I don't know why Marvin Lewis, whatever, didn't really give him that many opportunities in Cincinnati. I just seems like he's a great athlete, and particularly with his pass catching ability, I think he could have more games like this.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, James White, he's definitely more owned because he's at the top of their pecking order. But he's kind of the other guy that was the head of the three headed monster this week. Mike Gillisley. Is it Gillisley or Gillisley? I'm embarrassed that I don't know how
Gillisley.
To pronounce everyone's Gillisley. It should be that. He did not play at all. So, and it's kind of looking, as far as I can tell, that's what's happening. So MathBox has, we'll just kind of go through it for week 11 in PPR. And I think that's where, especially Burkhead will stand out more.
Mm-hmm.
White is ranked at number 11, or projected at number 11. Lewis at 18. Gillisley at number 26. But of course, like we were saying, MathBox is not aware of the situation.
And it doesn't know the results yet from this week.
Exactly. We're also basing this off of preliminary rankings you know, heading into last week, because we'll have updated projections for week 11 on Thursday. And so then Burkhead comes in at number 33. I would assume Burkhead basically moves up probably closer to that 26th spot if you're kind of moving those numbers around.
So maybe like a good solid flex play, mid-tier flex.
Yeah, I think so. Cause I mean, he was injured for a while. So he's just getting back into it. And I think he's got 2 15 point games in a row in PPR. I think that's a really good sign. So if Deion Lewis is still available, probably go with him because his floor is definitely higher and he's definitely, good for a double digit amount of carries.
Mm-hmm.
But Burkhead's essentially available in every league, so I mean, that's a potential flex option.
I mean, if you can get any running back who's decent off the waiver wire at this point in the year, I would jump on that. I mean, I could definitely use that help in a couple leagues.
Yeah, it's scarce. It feels like it's worse this year than it has been in a long time.
So it sounds like that's it for running backs. What about wide receivers?
Yeah, we got a few on the list, and before I got to the first one, a little context for how we do these waiver wire reactions is we go in the same way I feel like a lot of people do. We'll go, you know, after the week's over, we go into the scoring leaders lists in our online leagues and basically see who had, you know, big notable performances, and then we see if they're available, and then we'll go from there and, you know, based on the situation, based on tape that we see, and then, you know, based on MathBox's projections, we'll kind of see if they're a viable option going forward, or if that was a blip on the radar. And that's right. usually how we're starting. And the reason I kind of mention all that is because This next one, Marquise Lee for the Jacksonville Jaguars, it's actually not as much of that as usual.
Okay.
He was a repeat from last week. But he had his first touchdown last week.
Against the Bengals.
And then, had another decent day, this week. And, he is projected in the mid 30s, actually closer to 30 by MathBox. But we're also it's looking like he's on an upward trajectory, and that's how it was last week. And it's looking again like he could be settling into a better role there, and kind of Blake Bortles is doing better. So he's still under 50% for ownership. So that's definitely, like, if you are in need of wide receiver help, especially in PPR, get him, because he's definitely the, I don't think there's another number one option out there who's widely unowned.
Yeah. I mean, he's let's be honest. A lot of teams are starting to stack the box against the Jaguars, and and they do a lot of short passing, a lot of crossing routes, and he's the main guy for all that. So especially in PPR, I think he'd be a pretty solid pickup.
Yeah, and then so we'll move on to Chester Rogers for the Indianapolis Colts. Kind of a unknown player, to be honest. I certainly hadn't heard of him.
What do you think? What kind of clothes do you think he wears? Like, is it like a sweater vest?
Chester, ooh, that's a good question. So Chester wears a sweater vest, and he probably has a pet sloth. I would assume.
All right. So anyway, Chester Rogers,
all six targets for 104 yards and a touchdown. It was only his fourth game of the season, and he hadn't topped two catches for 21 yards prior to Sunday. He's typically really, really low as a receiving option, like a fifth plus kind of guy. And their offense is not robust at all. And Mathbox doesn't even have him in the week 11 preliminary projections. And you know, if he makes his way into the updated ones, I don't think it's going to be high. I think it's totally a blip type thing. And you should pass, to be honest.
Yeah, that he might not be in the projections because he hasn't received enough opportunities. Could that be correct?
Yeah, that's probably what's going on. And I think, you know, you see these kind of things happen from time to time where a guy that you hadn't heard of has one of these big games. That's why we're going through them, because you want to go, ooh, he had over 100 yards, let's get him. But I don't think it's going to happen again.
Sure. So skipping on him, unless you're in really deep leagues. What about...
Yeah.
All right. So I see next on your list, you have Brandon LaFell, who I have some thoughts about, but I kind of want to hear what you think first.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was definitely in his second season with the Bengals, definitely one of his better days. But he, you know, like, he's been there... second receiver for a while, and it just doesn't seem like he can really get consistent numbers, not exactly finding the end zone. So, you know, I won't see. What do you think?
Further, that's kind of the same thing. I mean, I think he's the type of guy who can't create separation on his own, or hasn't, or Andy Dalton doesn't trust him or isn't good enough to get him the ball. So like when he has these big games, it's like when the coverage breaks down, like for example, this last week, he was, you know, wide open because people were going to AJ Green on a couple times. So, I mean, I'm not like saying that he can't catch any passes and he's terrible, but I just don't know if he's a reliable fantasy guy.
My thought is I'm really close to the Bengals being the Cleveland Browns, and that it's just like pretty much. Don't touch them if they're not AJ Green.
So next guy on your list, Jamison Crowder. Is he somebody that you would maybe think of a little more highly, or?
Yeah, and he was kind of the one, if you were going down your scoring leaders list, you kind of had to go a little lower. He hasn't done, you know, a crazy amount this year, but his past few weeks have looked pretty good. He's with the Washington Redskins. Week 8 against Dallas, he had 9 catches for 123 yards, which was like his you know, big breakout game. Had a hammy issue last week, so he sat out against Seattle. And then this week he had 4 catches for 76 yards. He's projected by MathBox in the low 40s in both formats.
Okay.
But as you know, as far as I'm seeing, he's one of the best receiver options on the waiver wire at this point, and he's only owned in about 50% of leagues. So if you're looking for someone, you know, after you check if Marquise Lee's there or not, in a PPR league especially, Jamison Crowder should be on your list.
Yeah. So is there any reason? So like the first 7 games of the season, he was like at 5 to 9 points. And then the last 2 games he's been active, he's like at like 12 to 22. I wonder if that's going to continue.
You know, without knowing a whole lot about them, I think one of the big reasons is like everybody was on Terrell Pryor, and I think he was supposed to play into a bigger part of the offense.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing that's just not working out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Crowder might be filling in those holes.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't like, I mean, he wasn't non-existent in that offense heading into it. It's just now he's definitely getting kind of these over 50 yard games, definitely looking and accumulating more targets and more receptions.
Okay. So that's it on Jamison Crowder. So let's move on to tight ends.
Yeah. And we have Stonehands Jermaine Gresham, as we like to call him in Cincinnati. I mean, he is just on the list, the long list of tight ends that, you know, starting in real games, but, you know, not really a viable fantasy option. But he's had a couple good weeks in a row. and has had his first two touchdowns of the season past few weeks.
Is that anything to do with Gresham or Stanton?
Yeah, so I don't know that we have enough information to say that the switch to Stanton after Carson Palmer got hurt, if that's what's happening, you know, like the touchdowns could be for a lot of reasons. But MathBox is still pretty low on him. Although he's been doing well, I think he's ranked and projected low enough to where you're probably going to have some better options on the tight end market as of now.
Yeah, I feel the same. I would pass on him, especially when you have a guy like Charles Clay who still might be available.
Yeah, and so we, you know, again, like he didn't hit, this is another one of those not typical on our list, but for these waiver wire picks, but we kind of wanted to point him out because he came back from injury last week after he'd been gone for a few weeks, and he had been leading the Bills in receiving yards, and definitely had a rapport with Tyrod Taylor, and had been a really good red zone option, and kind of had shot up everybody's rankings and stuff until he got hurt. And I think a lot of people dropped him. He's owned in less than 50% of leagues, but like when he's, you know, assuming he's healthy and and I think that's kind of what is being indicated, he's probably their best receiving option.
Even still.
Yeah. So if he's available and there's a good chance he will be, that's definitely a guy you should be picking up, and certainly over a guy like Jermaine Gresham.
Yeah. So, so this past week, so one of the things about MathBox is if you don't play in a game at all, it doesn't count that game into its rolling averages or max min, whatever else we're doing to it. So if Charles Clay coming back from an injury this past week, MathBox doesn't know that he had been injured and was dealing with an injury issue, but say he was healthy, MathBox had him rated as like the fifth highest tight end in PPR. Obviously, human interpretation, we move that down a fair amount. And also in standard leagues, he was number two. So, I think that's kind of saying, like, look, if this guy comes back to the form that he was at before, he should definitely be on all rosters.
It's definitely helpful to see when MathBox really likes someone for whatever reason. It doesn't always work out, but when you have it with somebody who had like a good trajectory that Charles Clay did before the injury, and then it kind of likes them again. Like, I know it doesn't know exactly what's going on, but I also do think that when it has an understanding of something that maybe we can't exactly glean off of first glance, but I mean, he's doing really well there. So,
all right. So I think that's it for this Monday night. We got Monday Night Football coming up. Actually, Clay is gonna fall asleep here in a couple minutes.
Yeah, I will be. I don't have anything. I don't have anything witty.
Yeah, this is maybe why we let the Daves do the podcast most of the time.
Yeah, they're probably, they have more practice, but they are a lot cooler. So,
I mean,
we'll look forward to seeing them on Thursday.
Designers in Chicago with beards and like ironic, like one's like sort of like a ironic beard, one's like sort of like a music festival beard. I mean, come on.
And then I can't grow a beard, so.
There it is. But you're drinking classy bourbon. I'm drinking cheap wine. Talking about numbers. I don't know. Hopefully we can find like 15 minutes out of this that's worthwhile.
Yeah.
All right. So this is, what's my name? Is it Chris? Or do I have like another kind of name?
You're just Chris.
I'm just...
Because you're like the origin of all this, so you're just Chris.
I'm Fantasy Chris.
That sounds like a really bad like porn name or something, to be honest. Hey, Fantasy Chris here with your package.
Hey, girl.
And I am Cousin Clay.
All right, so Fantasy Chris and Cousin Clay saying happy Tuesday, happy Waiver Wire, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Good luck this week, guys. Thank you.
All right, later.